Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, via his Habib, via the sadqa of his beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon this ummah, Allah ta'ala has given a special favor and grace and mercy. Allah ta'ala has given this grace and mercy that time with time, at different intervals throughout the whole year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this ummah gives such opportunities and chances, such days, such moments, due to which, through which, the individual, if he is intellectual, if he's got a bit of brain, then he will save himself from hellfire. And he can attain Allah Ta'ala's radha and pleasure. And just like the people of Iman, whose genuine and proper destination is Jannah, Allah Ta'ala paves the way for them to reach there. Now if we see that some time only has passed, only a little bit of time, and Allah Ta'ala has given us or gave us such a beautiful month, Ramadan, even until today we can feel the taste of that beautiful month. What beautiful nights we had, what rewards there were. In the whole month Allah Ta'ala gave us two things, and the fadl of Allah, the gift that He gave to us, we don't need to speak about it. And what were those two things? One was the door of Tawbah was open for us, that it doesn't matter how many sins you have committed, how many sins you may be busy in, immersed in. It wasn't one day, 2 days, all 30 days Allah Ta'ala had opened up the doors of Jannah. And those who had to earn, who wanted to earn, mashallah, they earned and they made their lives good. And they were so lucky and fortunate that those people who attained the proper Ramadan and obtained Ramadan, and after that they passed away. You will see, you will have seen that from the Ramadan that passed until today, how many janazas we have prayed. We've prayed many, isn't it? And mashallah, they have succeeded. They have attained their destination. They took the benefit from that time, the time that Allah Ta'ala gave. And we don't know how many days we've got left, how many moments, how many seconds. Do I think that an illness is going to come and I'm going to die? No, Allah Ta'ala is going to call. That's it. Every second a person should be ready for his death or her death. We every day pray a janaza or pick up a janaza. In which house is there, which family is there that somebody has not died? So my brothers, this is Allah's mercy. Allah gives opportunities. Allah Ta'ala gives chances. The fire of Jahannam, Allahu Akbar. Imagine, about which we cannot even think, we cannot even imagine the adab, the punishments in Jahannam, in hellfire. And how Allah has given us great chances throughout the year that suddenly within seconds you can attain success. So Ramadan went. What great days Allah gave Ramadan. What beautiful nights. Allah Ta'ala said, okay, come to me, I'll forgive you. Doesn't matter how dirty you are, the doors of paradise were opened in Ramadan. So that's what one thing Allah gave in Ramadan. What was that? One was the door of Tawbah was open. And second thing Allah gave in Ramadan was Laylatul Qadr. We don't get it all year long. Greater than 1,000 months thawab in the night of power. Is this something small? Is this a minor? In the one night. So this is about those who wanted to fill their destiny with treasures, who really understood that we are desperate for this night. We don't want to burn in the fire of Jahannam. Only those people benefited, isn't it? So Ramadan came, it went, a couple of months have passed, and now Allah Ta'ala has opened up another door. Alhamdulillah. And first and foremost, we should say millions of times over, hundreds of thousands of times over, we should be grateful to Allah that after this Friday night, the door will open and we are waiting for that door to open. For those azeem great days, another great reward Allah Ta'ala is about to give to us. So alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allah's karam, azeem karam, Allah our creator, his extreme mercy that we are doing the dhikr of Allah in those days. This is a great reward of Allah, an extreme reward, brothers. Insan, the human being, cannot attain these moments through his own power and energy and efforts. No, it's Allah's karam. We can't use our energy or mind or brains or money. Everything is given by Allah Ta'ala's fadl. That's it. Sometimes we speak to someone, he doesn't have the mood to go to the majlis, and Allah Ta'ala by force sends him to the majlis. Because Allah wants to forgive that person. Otherwise, what does Allah want from anybody? Allah is not in need. So this is a big karam. It's very close to us. Now, you heard Maulana Sahib gave the announcement in front of you that Eid will be on the 12th. So what does this mean? That we've now realized about the moon, isn't it? We know about the new moon, that with that calculation, that we are, mashallah, on the doorstep of Dhul-Hajj. Dhul-Hajj is about to start, and there's one day in between, Jummah, tomorrow, and then we are there, Dhul-Hajj. So we speak about Dhul-Hajj today, a little bit of warm-up for Dhul-Hajj, that such great days we don't want to lose out. From this time to come, it will be a big loss if we lose out, a massive loss, such a big loss that we cannot compensate for afterwards, if we waste the days to come. If we don't understand, it's not a more thing, oh, it's Eid and let's sacrifice the goat and people are going on Hajj. Everyone's in a different place. If people are on Hajj, then the ones who are not going on Hajj, they're not going to lose out. Allah Ta'ala has not left anyone out. That only the people who are the Hajjis are forgiven. No, Allah has prepared away from Hajj as well. Such miskeen, poor people like us, Allah has prepared for us as well. So listen carefully to what I'm saying. Open your ears, I will speak carefully, I will listen to what I'm saying. The objective, as I always say to you, of this gathering is not a speech or a bayan, or except there's one objective. All of us sitting here, with Allah, with His mercy and grace, may He instill something into our brains, our minds, a hadith or some saying, that through the light of the hadith or saying, that we can do tazkiyah, that what is lacking in our life, we need to fulfill that thing that's lacking, and do away with it. And the person who analyzes properly, and then Allah says, he is the true grateful servant of mine. I gave him a message and he attained that message and he has fulfilled that gap that's in his life. So this is the gathering where we fulfill the gaps. We don't come in to say, wow, oh yeah, subhanAllah, what a great bayan. Allah says we do dhikr, we do his shukr, we are grateful for him, that Allah, we are so grateful to you. There's such a point I realized suddenly today in the majlis, if I didn't learn about this, I was going to burn in hellfire. But Allah, due to your beautiful and beloved Habib, due to his hadith or from the Quran, by chance I went to the majlis and I heard something that is not in my life that's correct. So I fulfilled that gap and I came towards you, Allah. So that's the objective of this gathering. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why we come here. To understand why are we here. The reason for this majlis is one. To realize what we are here for in life. Allah Ta'ala takes us to our destination and we start to follow that journey that Allah Ta'ala wants us to follow, so that we can make our life good for the hereafter. So today the discussion is very valuable, very precious, with Allah Ta'ala's fadl. First I will do dua to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, makes me capable that I can deliver this message to you correctly, and so that we can all understand, because it's Allah Ta'ala who makes us understand. We can't even understand sometimes. Abu Jahl, did he understand? He saw all the haq, summun bukmun umyun. Allah says, this is my mercy that you sit and Allah's Quran, His messages and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for someone to sit and even understand them, he is so successful. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala can put the padlocks on. The word can come in the right ear, leave the left ear. Come in the left ear, leave the right ear. You can sit in speeches, bayans, read hadith, read books. It'll come in one ear, go out the other. So this is the biggest favor of Allah, grace and mercy, that Allah has opened the doors and the brain cells in our mind so we can absorb the good things. So as I was saying, my friends, that now, after tomorrow, there are some days that will come. They are called the days of Dhul-Hajj, the 10 days of Dhul-Hajj. These are not normal days. Remember what I'm saying. These are not normal days. Listen carefully. They're totally not normal days. They are massive, massive, massively precious days that we cannot even calculate or even imagine. But just bring your mind towards what I'm saying. That's enough, inshallah. Why? Now, I will give you some hadith to understand. I will present some hadith that we can inshallah understand from. So we can understand the importance. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, stated, and it's not good to smile and laugh in a gathering. It's very bad adab and manners to laugh. Yes, if somebody is talking and somebody shows his teeth, Allah Ta'ala is displeased when a person shows his teeth. This gathering we should be crying. The heart should be open. As I said, look how hard our hearts are. Today, if you don't believe what I'm saying, then look, when you see me, my body's trembling. My body's shaking, I'm telling you the truth. But your people, there's someone here smiling and laughing. It's amazing. Shocking that Allah Ta'ala has put the padlocks on our hearts. I swear by Allah. Astaghfirullah, you should recite a person like this, that may Allah Ta'ala not be displeased with this person. Never laugh and show your teeth in a gathering in the masjid and dhikr of Allah, when you listen to Quran or looking left and right, right, and looking at someone and smiling at someone smirking. Don't you know this is the gathering of Allah becomes angry? What's going to happen? Don't you read the hadith? Have you not read the Quran? That something little which you do out of disrespect, doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, Allah sees a bit of disrespect in His majlis upon the wali of Allah or the gathering of Allah or the majlis, Allah becomes severely displeased. Sit here with a clean heart, pure heart. This is the majlis of dhikr. The angels are here. The doors of Jannah open. Allah Ta'ala's special, special attention is here. This gathering, Allah has given us fadl that He's called us and we're opening our mouth and showing our teeth. Astaghfirullah. So as I was saying, that this, the days of Dhul Hajj are going to start, the 10 days of Dhul Hajj. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, his hadith, first we need to listen about these days. What are these days? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that in the year, that all the days of the year, if you look at all of the days of the year, all the days in the year, however many they are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that out of all of the days there, the most greatest day, azim, the word azmat, are these 10 days. If you look at the rest of the year, these 10 days are the greatest. From all of the days there, listen to this hadith. Take all the days of the year, the greatest days in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which? These 10 days of Dhul Hajj, these first 10 days. So imagine that how important are these 10 days. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, big targheeb came to us that the greatest, most fantastic, fabulous, if you take out from the whole year, in the book of Allah, the 10 days of Dhul Hajj, the first 10 days are the greatest in the eyes of Allah. First point, understand this point. And in the year, all of the deeds we perform, good deeds, in the eyes of Allah, Allah says the most beloved days for which you should perform deeds, the most preferable, the most preferential, in these 10 days, the deeds that are performed are most preferable to Allah, if you compare, than the rest of the year, in these 10 days. Imagine the targheeb, that in the whole year, however many days come and nights, whatever amal you do or deeds, all of the deeds, Allah says in these 10 days, you cannot compare these 10 days to the rest of the year, these 10 days, the greatest to perform the deeds, good deeds. Sadaqah, recite Quran, pray nafil salah, to help someone in need, to assist somebody, to listen to someone's Quran. These are all good deeds, aren't they? So all the good deeds under the sun, if Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq to perform good deeds, you take any day of the year, you can do them. Put that all to one side. But the person who in these 10 days does good deeds, Allah Ta'ala says, there's nothing greater and beloved and preferential to me in terms of ibadah in these 10 days. Great point. So these two things I've just mentioned. So what a great, you can say, nasiha and advice we've been given to us by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that don't consider these 10 days minor. This is a great gift from Allah. This is a great mercy of Allah. That in these days, these 10 days, if we do good deeds, don't keep yourself far from good deeds. Every second keep yourself busy in something good. Don't waste your time. It's not a common day. Because these days, as much as they are beloved to Allah and beloved to Rasulullah and Prophet, imagine this, that the thawab and ajr, what will be the limit in these 10 days? These 10 days are so beloved to Allah and Rasulullah that there's unlimited thawab in these 10 days. Allah has put no limit that this much, 1,000, 50,000, no. Allah has given one measurement gauge that these are the greatest days of the year, and Allah says, I love the deeds most in these 10 days and the most preferential to me are these 10 days. So whenever you do an amal, like you pray a nafl in these 10 days, alhamdulillah, then be grateful to Allah that when I'm reading nafl in those 10 days, other days of the year I did, but the nafl I'm praying in these 10 days, it's most beloved and mahbub, that nafl in these 10 days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I recite the Quran these 10 days, it's the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closest to Allah. That Allah ta'ala says, I'm very happy with my servant when he performs deeds in these 10 days. Okay, next. After this. So, there's not one day in these 10 days. Every amal, salah, nafl, voluntary salah, recitation of Quran, do daras, ta'aleem, listen to bayan, go on tabliq. These are all good deeds. Whatever you do, what tawfiq Allah Ta'ala gives you for some work of the deen, do it. Great, great amal in these 10 days. The greatest 10 days, the most fabulous 10 days, and the best time to do ibadah. And another statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is fine. This is there. But Allah's Nabi, the meaning of the hadith, and I will tell you, that in these 10 days, Rasulullah said, I will tell you now a deed that I like. Who's telling us this? The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the beloved of Allah. He said that these 10 days are so preferential for Allah, so azim, but there's one deed Rasulullah said that I like. Pray Salah, recite Quran, do other things. But let me tell you one deed that I like. And Rasulullah, obviously if Rasulullah is telling us a deed that he likes, then it's not a minor deed, is it? It'll be so great in Allah's eyes. And this is such a great mercy and karam and fazl that Rasulullah is telling us, he's describing to us the amal that he likes. Shortcut, grab hold of this amal, end of story. End of story. We reach to the peak of the mountain then. Because the Prophet, the greatest Nabi, the beloved of Allah, we should just jump onto that, grab hold of that amal. And 100% success will come. So Rasulullah said, let me tell you one deen. What is that amal? that in abundance do the dhikr of Allah in these 10 days. This hadith of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, the same hadith is moving, that do the dhikr of Allah in kathiran kathira, abundance. So three things. Number one, don't waste 1 second in these 10 days that we're not doing a good deed. Every second we should be doing good deed. Work of the deen, walking, talking, sleeping, whatever. Such an easy route. Rasulullah, if you can't do nafal, or if you're working, or you're busy. But one thing, don't leave that in your heart or your tongue. Keep remembering Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Ha! Subhanallah. Beautiful prescription. Another, Rasulullah said, let me tell you another formula. Easy for you formula. The dhikr. What is dhikr? Alhamdulillah. There are two types of dhikr. One is dhikr e ruhani, spiritual, batini. For example, with the guidance like we do in a certain schedule, the dhikr of the heart, you learn from the friend of Allah or the wali Allah. For special reason you do dhikr, isn't it? Like qalbi dhikr, you go to the sheikh, to the guide. This is great dhikr, the qalbi dhikr. Now we have the common man, the whole ummah, and Rasulullah knew that there are many people who will not have learned from a teacher, who are lazy or negligent or have khawf or fear. They don't run to the deen, they're back at the back of the queue. But these 10 days, Rasulullah didn't want to keep them at the back of the queue. Rasulullah wanted to bring them to the front of the queue. And they shouldn't leave empty handed from these 10 days. So Allah's Nabi said, look, let me tell you something. That do dhikr in abundance. And let me give you talqeen of how to do dhikr. Shall I prescribe to you? I will guide you how to do dhikr for every common man. And we are also including this. There's people who are dhakir. They should follow this hadith. They should also do this. They should do their own prescription, their own mamulat, and do this as well. And everyone else should as well. So Rasulullah said that do dhikr kathira. Let me tell you some dhikr. And what Rasulullah prescribes, then that will be the dhikr to do. That is the prescription to follow. So Rasulullah said that, look, in this time, in this period of doing dhikr kathira in abundance, let me tell you a formula of dhikr to do. Tasbih and tahleel. Tasbih, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. These are four kalama. Rasulullah prescribed us how many? Four kalama. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Rasulullah said that be careful. Be careful in these 10 days. These kalamat four. Recite them as much as you can. These will give you massive, massive reward. Massive reward. So what did Rasulullah say? Subhanallah. What is the thawab? You don't know? Hadith. The person who says Subhanallah. Brothers, Rasulullah is prescribing to us in these special days, Azmat days, in the preferential days, Allah Ta'ala's most beloved days. Is this a little thing He's going to tell us? Some small time action? No. Impossible. The Prophet is going to, He wants to take us to the highest, highest, highest level. He gave us a small formula and He gave us the highest darajat of paradise as a result of this deed. Even the child can say, you can say it. We don't know what we're saying. Think how great these kalimats are that Rasulullah has prescribed them to us. That on this time and this period He's told us to. He's prescribed this. Every child can succeed. But the thawab, the person who says once Subhanallah. Once. Subhanallah. Between the heavens, skies and the earth, it's full of thawab. The whole gap between the heavens and the sky. This hadith is full of thawab. Once if you say Subhanallah. Once. Can we imagine this? And we're going to recite these kalamat, these four kalamat. If I start commentary on this, we don't have time. There are another two hadith I need to present to ourselves. So anyway, so I tell you these hadith, but let me tell you a small event first. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar, wa la ilaha illallah. I won't do tashree, it will take a lot of time, and then the time will pass. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, who was a mahbub khadim, beloved servant, sahabi, and he was in the youth at the time of Rasulullah. MashaAllah, great sahabi, and great personality. And there are so many events about him. And there was one beloved thing that I can see about Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, that he had a special dua that Rasulullah did for him. Special dua that worked upon him. Everyone knows about this and I will stop that. So he was alongside. And the Prophet ﷺ was there, and he was there alongside Rasulullah ﷺ. And while they were walking, Rasulullah ﷺ's staff, mashallah. And after 40 years old, a person should try to fulfill this sunnah. Sometimes you should keep the staff, the stick. We think it's for old people, the stick. Allahu Akbar. This staff, the stick, it makes the old man young. Subhanallah. So if you grab hold of the staff, the stick, two things have experience in your life. I swear by Allah. One, the tahmad, the lungi, the dhoti, this is special attire of the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This tahmad, lungi, dhoti, do this, practice this sunnah. And the staff, the stick, Allah, swear Allah, the person becomes so youthful, so much energy comes into him. He looks like a young man. And he looks like, subhanAllah, what energy and power. His walking, his style, his stance, his glamour. It suddenly changes and Allah Ta'ala puts noor into his walking and his life. Beautiful situation. So this is not the sign of old men wearing dhoti or having a stick. No, this is mashallah the sign of youthfulness and power and energy. Just like the staff. As Musa alayhi salam, what he did with the staff. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his action is the greatest action, isn't it? So Rasulullah sallallahu had the stick, the staff. And he was walking. And Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he was alongside. And every word was unique. Rasulullah's words, his actions, we cannot understand what the messages were coming. So while Rasulullah was walking, there was a tree. And Rasulullah tapped the tree, the trunk with his stick. And Hazrat Anas was watching. And he thought, oh, he's thinking. Why did Rasulullah hit the stick, knock the stick? As soon as the stick was hit, then the leaves dropped onto the ground. And Rasulullah said, Anas, do you know why I hit the tree with my stick? And Hazrat Anas said, Ya Rasulullah, you know best, Allah knows best. Why did you hit this? What did you see? He said, Rasulullah, you hit this tree with the stick and all the leaves fell on the ground. And Rasulullah said, Anas, now see. That Allah says, when a servant of mine says, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. When any servant, man or woman, brother or sister, recites this kalima, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that person, Allah removes his sins in such a way, just like the leaves fell off this tree. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is what we recite all day and night, isn't it? I give you the dawah for this. No. I give you dawah for something bad. So why don't you come to the masjid? Morning we recite this. Night time we recite this. Day time we recite this. Whenever we get a chance, we recite the same kalima, don't we? So why don't we come? Why don't we recite Allah's fadl? Allah saves us from dirty words, dirty actions, immodest actions. Allah Ta'ala takes us out of the dirt and purity, and He's put our tongue to those good kalamat that Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sazam practically told us. Such do the sins remove from the body, just like the leaves fall of the tree. So why don't we do dhikr of Allah? Is how can a person do dhikr and still have sins to his name? Impossible. What a great deed. Dhikr of Allah. So these kalamats I've told you. So now four things come to mind. It's all about action. Action. Action number one. What's that? Then these days, don't waste time, my brothers. Don't waste time. Number two. In these days, when we do a good action, we need to do all good actions, tilawat, recitation. But do in abundance in every second, in any majlis, gathering, or in isolation, don't leave dhikr of Allah. Don't. These are hints. Allah knows best what rewards Allah has kept in the dhikr of Allah in these 10 days. Because Allah said, kathiran, kasrat, abundance, as much as you can, and don't leave a second to waste. So try, my brothers, as much as you can. Allah Ta'ala's karam, His mercy, then this masjid we have dhikr, there are 3-4 other masjids we go to. So brothers, in these 10 days, that bring your schedule, agenda, reduce your work, reduce dunya, because look, that this is regards to the hereafter. So if we have to have a bit of loss in the world, my shop, my business, or taxi driving, less hours, then brothers, that's not a loss. That's not a loss. I swear by Allah, that's not a loss. This is a test Allah Ta'ala gives to us. What's he going to do? Oh, don't worry about work and dunya. If we make the niyah for akhirah, hereafter, and we implement the deen, and we spend the days properly, with the fadl of Allah, Allah will also compensate and give us the dunya that we need at the same time. I tell you this. So brothers, try, make effort. In these 10 days, wherever Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to do dhikr, then reach there. Get there, make a program, make an agenda, schedule that these 10 days we're going to pass like this. In no way are we going to miss a salah in jama'ah, no salah in the masjid. We're not going to leave dhikr, and alhamdulillah we're going to recite Quran, and I'm going to do these good deeds. I'm going to help people, give sadaqah, charity. These 10 days I'm going to grab them. Whatever I can do in these 10 days that I couldn't do the rest of the year, I'm going to give sadaqah in these 10 days and khairat. I'm going to help people in these 10 days. I'm going to listen to ta'aleem, go on tabligh and propagate deen. Whatever I can do, whenever I can, wherever I come, don't leave the opportunities. Don't leave them. Will you do this, brothers? Say inshallah. Inshallah. Don't leave them. Such a word has reached us. Just 10 days. Just imagine it's 1 week. 10 days is nothing. 10 days is celebrate on Eid and eat and drink and be merry. Alhamdulillah. Enjoy yourself. Now listen to the next hadith.
As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the next Sahabi, companion. First who was the Sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, the hadith we just discussed for the last half hour. Then we start with Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that this day, these days are the great days, the azim days. Hazrat Abu Huraira's hadith now radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Abu Huraira now, he's delivering to us the message that here. First was Abdullah bin Abbas with his message, and now Abu Huraira's message. So we see now that Rasulullah spoke to different Sahabi about these great 10 days. So imagine how great these are. That we say, oh Haji, he's gone on Hajj and we didn't go Hajj, I'll leave it to him, we're just going to pray Eid. Brothers, this has got nothing to do with Hajjis. This is to do with the 10 days of Dhul Hajj. We will also earn just as much, if not more, than the Hajjis. So Allah Ta'ala says, Hazrat Abu Huraira said that Rasulullah said these days are great, they're azim, they're high, they're lofty, the whole hadith he delivered. Then he stated a new amal in this hadith. That Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that look, we've just left Ramadan, haven't we? Ramadan 2 months ago. What does Allah Ta'ala say? That I will bring back to you the beauties of Ramadan. Such a word. Allah says, I will remind you of Ramadan. What does Allah say? That in these 10 days, that these days are great and the nights are also great. Both are great. Subhanallah. The day in the first 10 days is azim. Allah Ta'ala is preferential to Allah in the eyes of Allah. Beautiful for Allah. And the nights are also azim as well. How? It's stated that the person in the days, in the first 10 days, keeps a fast in the first 10 days of Dhul Hajj. And we will keep them, inshallah. The person who keeps the fast in the first 10 days of Dhul Hajj, then he gets for each fast the thawab of fasting the whole year. So maqbool, accepted fast for the whole year. How much? For one fast, the reward of fasting for the whole year, maqbool, accepted. And the night, Rasulullah said that the person who does ibadah night, same dhikr Allah, alhamdulillah we have the majlis, and inshallah we will do this, after Isha we will do dhikr. Why? For this reason, that the person who does ibadah in the night and he wakes up, in these days, how much thawab? Laylatul Qadr thawab, equivalence. 1,000 months which has been mentioned, and such stories of the Sahaba, and such Quranic verses that have come for this. That was one day in Ramadan, one night, the night of power. One, didn't it? And what was the had? What was the halat? We were looking for the night, searching, 21st night, 23rd night, 25th night. Allahu Akbar. Allah's Habib, the beloved Habib, his sadaqah. He says, don't worry, the night, just wake up, you don't, and you'll get the whole of Laylatul Qadr thawab. The doors will open the same you will listen to, the same forgiveness, the same duas will be accepted. Totally the situation of Laylatul Qadr, end of story. 1, 2, 3, 4, all 9, 10 nights. 10 Laylatul Qadrs are in our hand, morning fast, and night is Laylatul Qadr. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest. What preparation for the rest of the life. And we will forget all of the sins that we committed, all of them. Subhanallah, is this hard? Is this difficult? Nothing. Easy. Alhamdulillah. Make this program, make this agenda, make this schedule. That's it. Just you have to adjust yourself a little bit up and down. But inshallah, the work will continue. Allah will give us the courage and determination. Don't worry. Few days, 7, 10 days, have a bit of difficulty. So what? Have you got a guarantee that Ramadan's going to come next year? Have you got a guarantee these first 10 days of Dhul Hajj will come next year? Have you got the guarantee Dhul Hajj will come next year, brothers? Tell me. Those brothers who came before Ramadan, where are they now? Or those brothers who had Ramadan, and after Ramadan, during Ramadan, they wasted their time. Today in the graveyard, the deceased who are listening to these words, they will be saying, brothers, don't waste your time. We're in the grave. These 10 days have come and gone, and we know how we wasted them. And look at our hal, our bodies, the flesh is wasted. Our bones have crumpled, and the animals have devoured our bodies. Don't make mistakes, brothers. We used to hear things, and we used to laugh and show our teeth. We used to sit down and smirk and laugh, and we weren't worried. We didn't care, but we didn't know that we're going to die soon. And we died, and we went into the grave, and we didn't even realize. Don't make these mistakes, brothers who are alive. They're crying out to us, shrieking to us, but we're not listening to them. We can't listen because their world is finished and our world is here, and we walk around laughing. Ah, it's alright, ah, it's okay, I'll get older, white hairs, 10 days will come again. Beware, beware. Fast in the day and night ibadah. That is a total Laylatul Qadr thawab each night. Allahu Akbar. And one more hadith that we will discuss. Hazrat Qatada radiallahu anhu states another hadith, another companion, great sahabi, upon the same subject, same 10 days. So you understand now everything what I'm saying? So he praised again. He mentioned these are great days, fantastic days, fabulous days, beloved to Allah, beloved to Rasulullah. He had the same hadith.
He is also delivering the hadith, but he told us an extra amal, a separate amal, unique amal. He said, all the fasts you keep, you'll get the reward of 1 year fasting. But beware, that the fast on the 9th day, on the Yawm Arifah, on the day of Arifah, be careful where the hajis on that day. Where are they? Their sins are being removed between the heavens and the earth. Their whole life changed. But you are not far, O non-hajis. Allah Ta'ala also will give you. Allah has not left you empty-handed. On the 9th day, be more alert. Put the alert up, the antenna up. Put the ilmul up. This is a unique point coming, this hadith. What's in this hadith? That if you keep the fast on the 9th of Dhul-Hajj, and by chance, if the fast before you couldn't, from the 1st to the 8th, you are ill, you negligent. But the 9th of Dhul-Hajj, don't leave this. Keep the fast on the 9th. What's the thawab? The person who fasts on the 9th of Dhul-Hajj, Yawm al-Arafah, then the previous year and the next year to come, all sins removed and eliminated and wiped away. Allahu Akbar, Allah's karam. The doors have opened. Rahmah upon Rahmah. Mercy upon mercy. The extreme fadl of Allah. The extreme for the Allah. One fast. What's that? In the morning, eat two parathas. Say Allah's name. Fill your stomach. 7-8 hours. Then eat the chapati again. MashaAllah. That's it. That's all you got to do. What else are we going to be doing? The rest, Allah Ta'ala says that we will sleep for 6 hours, or you'll work a little bit. The time will pass. You won't realize. Just fast. But nafs will say, no, too hard. I'm going to get dizzy. I'm weak. My stomach grumbles and my eyes go red and I can't fast. And the day goes. Day passes. Don't listen to nafs. Don't listen to your desires. Say, nafs, doesn't matter if I die. And I'll say, I didn't care, Allah, I fasted. Doesn't matter what happens. From today, I make the niyyah, I'm going to fast. That's it. Then keep the fast, the 9th fast. Understand what I'm saying? Everything understood? Okay, one more hadith now. So this is a beautiful hadith, because Allah's Nabi is coming from his home now, this next hadith. This is coming from his own home. So what reason is that? Rasulullah even spoke at home about these points, about these 10 days. How great these days must be. Think, my brothers, my friends. What azeem days, Allahu Akbar. That the person, is a foolish person who doesn't benefit from these days. Who? Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu anha, beautiful, our beloved and our dear and respected mother, Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu anha, who's told our children, us, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, she is one of the wives, the Azwaj Mutahharat, the Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, great sahabiyah. She said that my master, the Holy Prophet, my beloved husband, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said this is mustahab amal, but because Rasulullah has prescribed it, so end of story. Why should we leave this action? There's a hikmah, there's a wisdom here. Someone calls something mustahab or wajib or fard or something called sunnah. But what has come from the blessed mouth of Rasulullah sallam is for us important to act on. That's it. Because if Rasulullah sallam is telling us an amal, or if he's showing us something, then how can we sit and say, it's all right, I don't want to do this. If Rasulullah sallam is advising, prescribing, then due to the weakness in our brain and our thoughts and our opinions, we say, okay, let's call this mustahab or sunnah or nafal. No, don't fall into the trap. Say, no, I'm going to do this action. Because Rasulullah SAW prescribed it. For example, you work in a factory and the boss says, the person who's got a bit of strength, the people with strength are those, you'll get 1.5, pay 1.5. And everyone says, no, I'll work. Doesn't matter if I'm weak, if I'm sick, or if I'm exhausted, I'll work. Because you want to get paid 1.5. You want the hard wages double. So now those who want the hereafter, the beloved says, Allah, I want to do this. Doesn't matter if it's mustahab, if I'm weak, I want to do it. This is important for me. So Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu anha said, what a beautiful amal, beautiful action. Hazrat Umm Salma said, and we may be already practicing this, that the person who gets the tawfiq, that inshallah I'm hopeful that all of us will be included in this tawfiq, that to do the sacrifice, to sacrifice the amal. So when you sacrifice the animal, when you have the fast and the moon comes out, when will the moon come out? The first of Dhul Hajj is when? Saturday. So tomorrow night is the first night of Dhul Hajj. So the moon will be sighted tomorrow. So the Saturday will be the first of the Hajj, and by chance Jummah is tomorrow. So be prepared totally tomorrow Jummah, that your hairs you have to cut and your nails you have to cut, that we do this on Jummah, alhamdulillah, isn't it? That's it, do that tomorrow and you're free. Then you don't have to cut your nails or your hair, and just stay like that. Your body, don't cut or pull off any hair. Until when? Until your sacrifice of your animal is not made. Wherever, when the first drop of blood from your sacrificed animal drops, then you are like the Hajji. You, mashallah, you'll have done Hajj, and you did that Mina. You'd first go and give the sacrifice, then have a bath. Also, you'd shave your hair and do everything and do Sa'i and Safa Marwa, and then you change your ihram into your normal clothes. So this is what the Hajjis will do. So Allah Ta'ala says that you act like the Hajjis. Don't cut your hair, don't trim your nails, and when your sacrifice is made, then you do this. So this is a beautiful benefit. There's no loss here. What a great reward in these 10 days we'll get. These beautiful beloved ages, we do this amal, so no difference is made. There's no loss, no pain, no hurt. So Jummah is tomorrow. In the sunnah, cut your hairs and clean yourself and then your nails, and that's it. After that, you're free. Now here the ulama ikram have written some hikmah about this wisdom, that these actions are not void of any hikmah, because no action of Rasulullah is devoid of any hikmah. So some beautiful messages come out of this. The first message that comes out is this, that the mankind, Allahu Akbar, don't cut the hair, don't cut the nails. This is the case, isn't it? So the biggest hikmah in this is this, that what are we doing when we're doing this? That we are imitating the hajjis. We are copying the hujjaj. The hajjis, when we start copying them, so we, for example, our hairs are growing, our nails are growing, we're doing nakal of the hajji, who's there doing this. So it's stated that by copying them, by imitating the hajjis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love this action so much that your name will be included with the hajjis, with their reward, because you copied them, you imitated them. So you are doing the nakal, you are copying the haji, because he is the mahbub, beloved of Allah. And labbaik Allahumma labbaik, when you're calling out labbaik, because why is Allah saying beloved? They think for a few moments. Think for a few moments. Labbaik. In other words, that the haji is speaking direct to Allah, and he has yaqeen. He has got certainty that Allah, you're watching me, Allah, I've come. So he's saying, Allah, I've come. So obviously they've got a connection with Allah. And Allah will say, fine, labbaik. Okay, Allah says, fine, I've heard you. Welcome. Marhaba. So that's why these words have been kept. The haji has total yaqeen and certainty that one, Allah has called, and second, he's saying, Allah, I've come. What shall I do now? Allah says, fine, you've come. Come to the maidan and I will speak to you. And not one of your sins will I leave out. Come to me, I will wipe your slate clean. You are that individual, the whole universe, I've selected you and brought you to my house, and you keep shrieking, I'm coming, Allah, I'm coming. That's what they're saying, isn't it? When you call someone, yes, I'm coming. Ma'ara, I'm coming. So that means someone's calling you. So when somebody wears the ihram and shouts and shariq says, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata wa laka wal mulk. They keep saying this, don't they? Because Allah's watching them, Allah's listening to them. That's because Allah's called them, come to me. So he shrieks and shouts like a baby, Allah, come, I'm coming. So Allah, that's the link, the connection between Allah and his servant. That imagine the azim, strong connection of that haji. When he says to Allah, labbaik, how close he'll be to Allah. All the veils are being removed, and he's saying, Allah, come. Allah says, come. Allah, you called me. Allah says, yes, I called you. Come. Where are you? Allah, here, come to Arafat. I want to meet you in Arafat. Yawmul Arafat. Arafat means the place of meeting, subhanallah. Where? Who will meet her? Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and who? Hawa. Eve. And this is the sign that's where every ummati will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meeting point, Arafat. So this is the sign Allah ta'ala has given to us. Then I say this is the reality that Allah ta'ala wanted to show us to every haji. Every haji will come and I will meet you in Arafat. Here I meet you, in masjid I meet you, I see you at your home, everywhere, in different places I meet you, I see you. But that meeting, if you come to the masjid, do you ever say labbaik allahumma labbaik when you come to the masjid? Nobody says it. You say it whenever you go anywhere else, anywhere virtuous, but that is the one maidan. It's a total wilderness, dusty plain. You're running naked. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik, Allah sharika labbaik. And you with jazba and passion, the men, the women, old, young, youngsters, everyone saying labbaik. Who are you saying labbaik to? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said that this maidan, plain Arafat, where we're going to meet. And this will be the meeting between me and my servant, and I've set that day. Subhanallah, what day? What day? There's a date. You know the date? Allah's given a date to his servant. On the 9th, I'm going to meet you, my servant, in Arafat. So this is Hajj. So Haji is a great individual. So to copy the Haji, Allah says, I want you to copy him. If you don't go on Hajj, Allah says, then non-Haji, copy the Haji. So we're going to do Naqal. And on that Naqal, Allah will give us the reward. Allahu Akbar. What reward will Allah give? In some hadiths is stated that on the day of Arafah, when the hajis will be practicing, and the person who copied the haji, Allah says, I will include you in the thawab on that day. You'll be fasting, just like the haji, you'll be copying them, and Allah will be happy and say, go, I've made you just like the haji. Subhanallah. Now a point emanates from a beautiful point. The haji, Allah's beloved servant, and he is there with the ihram, and he's got the beard, and he's not cut the hair, and he's grown his nails, and he becomes the beloved of Allah, isn't it? So in the universe, that individual, everyone in the universe, who Allah Ta'ala says from the heavens, that you are my mahbub, Allah called his mahbub, imagine, the haji's rank. Allah says, وَرَفَعَنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, the way my name goes, your name will go until Qiyamah. Imagine now the rank, the status of who I'm speaking about. Allah says, whoever you love, I will love, Allah says. All the Anbiya, you are the Sardar, the head, the chief. Wah, on the day of judgment, you will intercede for everybody. You will have the Maqam of Mahmud. You are my mahabub, my habib, my beloved. Imagine his maqam. Look at the haji. Will he not be greater? What is a haji in comparison to Rasulullah? So if we look like Rasulullah, we make our face like him, we wear the attire like him, we wear the color that he likes. And here, we just spoke about copying the haji, not cutting the nails of him. We'll get the same thawab on Yawmul Arafah. Then if we copy Rasulullah, we say, I don't care about opinions and analysis. The Rasulullah did this. And Allah said, if you copy, the Rasulullah said, man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. That whichever qawm, whoever you imitate, Allah says, I will raise you in that state. So the person who copies Rasulullah says, all his life with this niyyah, with this intention that Allah, I know whatever action I come to you on the day of judgment with, it won't be a good amal that I can say, Allah give me Jannah paradise or send me to good news and reward. But I know if I do naqal and I copy your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I know you will say go into Jannah paradise for copying Rasulullah. So should we not do naqal? That this is a big point. Understand this point. This is the proof for the sunnah. So anyway, I will summarize what we're saying. These 10 days are coming very quickly, the day after next, just like we prepared for Ramadan, and we should prepare and implement more than Ramadan, because Allah has condensed Ramadan, the reward, the beauty. There were 30 days. Allah says that those 10 days, just like you have milk and you condense it into evaporated milk or condensed milk, and it comes into a little box. A bottle goes into a little carton. So Allah says, I'll give you another reward. The whole Ramadan went and I've condensed now the beauty, and I'll give you Laylatul Qadr reward and Ibadah, and I'll give you the fast in the day, and I'll give you Laylatul Qadr in the night, and I'll give you that and much more. But instead of 30, I give you it concealed in the 10 days. Condensed, beautiful reward, a small Ramadan, a mini Ramadan is coming. These 10 days, I don't think it's small. Brothers, prepare from today. Make your program, agenda, and your schedule. Alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah, that however much you can do, amal, in these days, all the hadith we've discussed and the amal, the deeds are tried to. So whatever can come to you and reach to you, do amal on this and do dua for me, inshallah. This is the main thing, that we are weak. We are weak. We are broken down individuals, but be careful of one point. One thing which is very, very extremely essential for us from the Fadl of Allah that we need to do in this time is the dhikr of Allah. Free of charge, no energy, no power. And this is the greatest deed that Rasulullah gave to us. That the best amal in these 10 days, dhikr in abundance. Don't leave this. May Allah give me tawfiq and you tawfiq, that wherever morning and evening we can see this majlis, that we, these 7 days, we have to spend in a beautiful way, and we have to be included in the dhikr of Allah as well. May Allah give me the tawfiq and you as well. Ameen.